Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Brad Herta, welcome back, my friend.
Hello, Mr. Stephen Doyle. How are you?
Dude, I'm fantastic. Got my refreshing drink already cracked in midday. Let's get it on.
I'll just do my Diet Pepsi here. I'll save my tequila for later tonight.
Well, it's... I mean, Alex is already getting in on his.
Yeah, so this is vodka, so.
Yeah, whatever. It's all good. Could be vodka, gin. Doesn't matter. 220, 221, whatever it takes, right?
It's all good. It's all good.
So we're going to welcome back Alex Pauls, who is our number one Canadian guest of Blue Collar BS. Number one. You are the number one. He had so much fun last time sharing stories with just myself. This time, Steve's going to be able to partake in those stories. And we got some great electrician stories and all sorts of fun stuff that Mr. Pauls did not share with us in his first episode, that he was so excited to come back and says, hey, I need to do this again. I got shit I want to tell people. So welcome back to the show, Alex. I am grateful you are here again today.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Steve. It's going to be fun.
So before we get started, you know, just a reminder, a refresher for everyone. Which generation do you best fit in with?
Yeah, this generation.
Give it to us, the Gen X.
What generation are you really from?
It's true. I think that The Godfather and Rocky were the same year I was born. Well, maybe Godfather 2, maybe not part 1. But 1978, that's a good year.
Yeah.
Disco was about to die, but it was still awesome.
It was in fifth grade that year. It was awesome.
Excellent.
Brad, I can picture Brad's afro right now.
Yeah. No, I did not have a perm. It was all the rage, but I did not have a perm.
That's funny. That, you know, we probably need to create a couple videos with that.
You know, just picture Brad with the perm so he doesn't have to wear a bike helmet. You know, he's just biking on the street. He's totally safe.
There weren't bike helmets when I was growing up, Alex. Right.
That's why you need the perm. That's why you need it. It was a self-defense move.
Yeah, okay. So then it just got in the way. I mean, some of those folks had that big burn, right, playing baseball or basketball or whatever. It just got in the way of things.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. So, Alex, welcome back to the show. So since, you know, it's our first meeting, official meeting between you and I, and doing a little pregame before we got on here, talked a little bit about some extra stuff that we wanted to chat about today. So what was the one thing, reason why you wanted to come back and share what we're going to be talking about now?
Well, I just love talking to Brad. So and I got lots of fun stories to tell. So we only got into a little bit, and I always tell people when we're doing a podcast, just keep the thing going, because all the bonus content ends up being like the better content. So
right,
it was bonus content to start, so we don't have to do it twice.
Yeah, exactly. So look, I'm here to have fun, tell some stories, talk about my favorite experiences of being in the field, being blue collar, and what I loved most about it, what I didn't love, and, you know, hopefully that resonates with some people, and hopefully I can pass that on to the next generation.
We love that word hope here. You know that, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Words matter. We don't hope to make an impact. We are making an impact.
For sure.
Well, we're just going to assume that Brad
in our little audience world
hung up there.
Share the knowledge.
Everybody get snowball hung up there.
And, you know, I like to think somebody out there is driving in their van, cruising around the city like I used to, doing maintenance, listening to podcasts. And why wouldn't you listen to the Blue Collar BS podcast while you're, you know, doing maintenance checks on different buildings and in your city? And we didn't have podcasts when I was on there. I just had my mix of my favorite inappropriate songs that I would blast.
Your breakup tapes that you had in your Walkman?
Yeah. I would make my trainees listen to all my favorite music. And I'm like, sorry, dude. Like, once you get to my position, then you can have your own playlist.
All right. So what are the top three songs on your playlist while you were being in the heavy electrician, you know, hey, I'm about to die if I don't wear the right gloves world.
Oh, man. So, okay. So I was just telling one of my friends this story of the greatest catastrophe that ever happened to me at work as an electrician was these really smart engineers and you know, the telecontrol guys, they decided they were going to keep hammering closed a breaker that kept tripping without it's like, you know, the breaker's doing its job. It's tripping for a reason, right? So meanwhile, there is a CT, a current transformer, which for anybody out there, does metering work. So you take like a high current and it steps it down to a metering system so that we can read it, you know, legibly inside. And so one of these CTs had exploded in the station and there was shrapnel like 300-400 yards, which ended up turning into a gigantic fireball. If you can imagine, just
like a movie set. Everywhere.
Yeah, just big chunks, like a war zone. It seriously was like Iraq. And my wife had, she was super pregnant. She was like 8 months pregnant at the time. So she had the car, but she dropped me off at the station because I wasn't the guy on call. And so I am leading into the playlist, just so you guys know. Oh, I am leading into the playlist.
I'm confident.
the story is going somewhere. So we get there. Oil everywhere. Fire. Everything is black. It's a total disaster. We find out 2 or 3 days later that one of our major transformers got hit with that shrapnel and we didn't notice it. And we dropped 2,000 liters of oil into the ground.
For those of us in the U.S., liters is how many gallons?
There's about four liters in a gallon.
Okay.
So what's that? 700 gallons?
Well,
about 700 gallons of oil. And that's when the transformer got a low oil alarm. And we went over there and checked it out. And yeah, sure enough, it was spraying oil because it was punctured by some of the shrapnel. And interesting enough, they dug a trench around the transformer. All of the oil was kind of like seeping out of the ground because we dug it deep enough. And our job all summer, me and my trainees, was to listen to music in the hot summer sun and just use these pads and wring them out of oil. All summer long. This was the greatest job I've ever had. It was so ridiculous. And at the same time, I was helping the environment and we got to listen to music all day long and joke. And it was seriously the greatest summer ever, making double time wages off this catastrophic event. So
wow.
At the time, we were listening to this Canadian comedian. So if everybody can go out there and Google John Lajoie, he was coming out with these hilarious comedy songs. And this is the stuff that we were listening to while we were working. We were just like dying laughing, and he had the song, hit song called Everyday Normal Guy. And so once we get off the show, you have to Google this Everyday Normal Guy rap songs. And yeah, Sunday afternoon, all the stuff he was going to do on Sunday afternoon before getting back to work. Oh my goodness. We were dying laughing, listening to this. And then on the side note, we had a lot of Wu-Tang Clan to kind of break up the comedy and just have a great time in the early 2000s. So we were having a blast out there.
All right. Not on my playlist, but hey, that's your playlist.
John Lajoie will be on your playlist after this, I promise.
So the latest one, so interesting. I was at the auto parts store a couple weeks ago, and they're playing some music in there. And I'm like, what the? It's like Hotel California, but to this very different thing. The guy's name is Richard Cheese. And he does classic song, classic rock, hard rock, dance songs to early jazz type upbeat 40s, 50s type tone. And like, wow, it was funnier than hell once I realized it. I'm like, it's Hotel California. Hey, cool. It was bizarre. It was really bizarre listening to him. Why do I know this song? Oh, but it wasn't the Eagles singing it. So
yeah,
it was all good.
You'd be surprised how much oil you can bring out of the ground while you're listening to music. It's
we
were environmentalists that year. It was a good time, but wow, it was crazy how much oil we lost and we got back. So happy ending, right?
You guys have a lot of oil in your ground. That's why they have the tar sands.
It just goes back in the ground anyway. I don't understand how that's pollution.
That's why you got the tar sands. That's why you got the Albion oil shale and everything up there. So it's all good.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Mr. Doyle.
Yeah, thanks. I guess my internet is the one that decided to kick me out. So it's all good.
What's on your current playlist, Mr. Doyle?
Oh, dude, it's all over the place. We got a little bit of, there's rap, there's country, more country, more country.
Okay.
Some rap.
All righty.
Yeah. And yep. Whatever my daughter's put on it.
That Spotify, do you guys do that Spotify Wrapped thing at the end of the year?
No.
What is it?
I don't know. Like Spotify, it basically takes your data and like, you know, shows what you listen to the most that year. And I'm like, I didn't realize I was such a Sugar Ray fan. I'm like, I'm pretty sure my kids hijacked my Spotify or I got a problem because, I mean, Sugar Ray is okay, but it's not like he's my favorite. This is.
So you kind of mentioned, you know, the good things, the bad things about, you know, growing up and working in the high voltage world. So share with us, you know, the good things that you enjoyed. And then on the backside, what were some of the things you'd like to see changed? And on top of that, let's just keep stacking questions because that's what we like to do.
Yeah, that's always good for a podcast.
It's good radio. It's funny.
So Andy Wines, the famous Andy Wines, was just asking me a bunch of questions today. And I always start with the last question first and trail off on the first question and don't really answer it.
Right. Because what I really want to know ultimately is, you know, as you go through the things you liked, the things that had an impact, what would you give to the younger generations and older generations today as to what to do to solve this multi-generational workforce dilemma that we have in the trades?
I like to think that I was starting, like when I was an electrician, I like to think that things were starting to trend in a better direction. I wasn't necessarily like a hard ass, and I wasn't necessarily really soft on the guys either. Like I never made anybody carry my tools. I never, you know, berated anybody in front of me. And my experiences were very much, I wanted to treat the guys the way I wanted to be treated, even though I wasn't always treated exceptionally well by some of the old school guys who, you know, you got to earn your stripes before you're even allowed to talk or even be allowed in the room to hear what the plan is and see what's going on. I like to think that I was passing a good torch when I was in there, that I really respected my trainees' opinions. I always asked them for it. I would like to see what was on their mind. You know, when we were presented with an issue and we were troubleshooting, I always wanted to see what their perspective was. And, you know, either tell them, okay, this is what I see and this is from my own experience. So sometimes you know the answer already, right? And you just want to see what.
So you wouldn't go, hey, that's really fucking stupid.
Right. No, I didn't. I don't think I was ever forced to do that. Like, what are you, a moron?
What kind of idea is that?
Yeah. Check the box here. Check. Yep. Done that.
But I even do that with my children now. When we're attacking any type of problem, I kind of want to see where their brain is at. And it's a good way for us to quickly pinpoint blind spots when we're looking at something. Because it's even as a technician, you can get really like honed in and miss the obvious, or maybe miss something that's not obvious. But most of the time you get honed in and you miss the easy, obvious reason for a problem when you're troubleshooting. And I know that I was the victim of that a couple times. I got called out one time and the battery, the DC, we had a low DC voltage alarm and I was troubleshooting the most complicated scenarios in my mind. And then after 2 hours, I was just like, it was 3 in the morning. I'm tired. And I just walked over to the charger And I looked and the charger had been turned off by accident.
Oh,
and the reason why the cable company always asks you, hey, is it powered on?
Yeah. And here I am thinking that that is the dumbest, least possible, you know, possibility for why I'm getting this alarm. Because, I mean, nobody turns off a charger, right? But apparently somebody had walked by it, one of the construction guys, and inadvertently hit it with a ladder or something in it.
It was miraculously turned off,
right?
And hey, we know this young guy's going to be here tonight. Let's just screw with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not a fun night. But, okay, so I feel like I've gone off kilter here.
We've been off the rails since day one. It's okay.
It's okay. So I guess, you know, one of my least favorite things about being in the field was an older technician, and I really appreciate him now, but at the time he was kind of putting me through the paces and making me earn my stripes, changing light bulbs, doing all sorts of ridiculous like jobs. Like after I've already been doing things for 5-6 years and going back to it, if he would have just explained to me why he was giving me the jobs that he was instead of just like handing me all the crap that I didn't want to do. And I really wanted the meat and potatoes. You know, when you're young, you really want to learn like as much complicated stuff. Like right now I could go back to the field and change light bulbs. Like anybody can do that. Good. I don't need to be a 5-year, 6-year trainee changing light bulbs. I'm not learning anything at that point. But
light bulbs are special now. They're different.
They are different now.
They're not just incandescent.
And I think that I'm not unique in the new generation and the younger generations. Everybody wants to know why they're doing something.
Agreed.
You know, like what's the method of madness? And for anybody out there that's assigning tasks or something repetitive, and if the young guy is maybe so green that he doesn't want to question it or is too shy to question it, they still want to know why they're doing something. What is the benefit? Like once I finally asked him, like, why am I doing this? And he said, I wanted you to learn about each different type of lighting and each lighting system, not just changing bulbs, because we had many different types of bulbs and he wanted me to actually learn how each of them worked. I'm like, well, why didn't you just say that? Why didn't you
tell me that a year ago?
Yeah. Why did you just make me change light bulbs? I hated it and I hated you. And if you would have just told me from the get-go that you wanted me to learn about all these different lighting systems, I would have approached it from this like, oh, wow, I'm learning about all these different things that maybe I kind of missed. It was that blind spot that I didn't know and I didn't appreciate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Simple and yet a blind spot for somebody who might be teaching, right?
So what you're saying is that we have a communication problem.
Sure. Some people just want to be told what to do. And some people want to do things for a reason or want to know why they're doing something. And some people don't mind being told just to go do something and they don't care what it is or if they learn anything from it.
Yeah, and I see that actually across multiple generations. Each person is uniquely different. And so with some of my contractors, they will be very specific. I need you to do this because of X, Y, and Z. And other times, based on the person, they're like, I just need you to go do this without any explanation. Again, it comes back to each person. It's catering the communication to each person.
Sure. I spent a summer working in the sewers. I don't know if we talked about this last time. That's a wild job. Being a sewer rat, that is, I'm telling you, I don't know how I got out of there with hepatitis.
I don't think
I've seen so many other people's shit. Like, crazy. But I was so frustrated because I was the new guy on the sewer crew and they had all these plans and all these meetings that I was not privy to. And it would just be like, here's the shovel, go do this. And I'm the kind of person that likes to begin with the end in mind. I want to know what the goals are so that I can help work towards that. I'm not just dummy with the shovel that, you know, I'm not a lemming. And I need to know what I'm working towards.
Can you say that like,
it helps when you know the goal, right? It helps a lot of people know what the end goal is.
Right.
And I think so many new guys, so many technicians, they don't let the new guys get near the table for some reason and see what the final plan is. And I think that's a detriment to the team.
Knowledge is power, right? And that
sure.
Too many, what I have found is that too many of the elder statesmen take that knowledge as power versus taking that knowledge and turning into the power of wisdom to share, to make their life easier. And I think there's a lot of times that fear of, well, if Billy knows what it is, that I'm not going to be able to bring any value. So if the young guy, Alex, knows what I know, then I'm of no value to the organization anymore. So I'm going to hold it to myself. When the reality is, you actually make your life easier because now you can go do things that can bring the company more value. Hey, we got this new project we want you to work on, and we want this, but oh, we're too busy because the young guys don't know shit any yet, and you didn't tell them. So therefore, I can't have you go out and not keep beating up your body, but go in and work on a new program, new procedures, new whatever might be happening. And you end up hurting yourself and the organization in the end, in the long run. And it's terrible.
And there is such a thing as information overload for the young guys too. There is such a thing as TMI. Like they don't need to know every single detail, right?
Correct.
But if they kind of know the end goal and you know what the goal is for that day or for that week and what they're striving towards, that gives them that sense of at least being in control and working towards that goal. But to be totally blind and not know what's going on, that's not empowering at all.
Setting expectations, right? Knowing that this is what we got to get done. Oh, today we got to get 4 miles done. Cool. You know what you got to get done. Then. Oh, I got to bust my ass.
How many young guys do you guys talk to now? Like, I always think that the new young generation gets a bad rap for not wanting to work hard. They just want to, you know, take it easy. They just want to work on a computer. They don't, you know, but I'm sure that there's young, strong people out there that, you know, mm-hmm. want to do the trades. And, but I really think that they come at it from more of an intellectual way, like wanting the bigger picture, right? They don't want the little picture.
It's what we have been finding, at least those that I've been talking to, it's more, what's really my purpose for being here for those that actually want to work? Cause the stigma is still getting them into the working environment and wanting to work. So overcome that hurdle. Once we overcome that, so we're going to push the lazy people to the side. We're only going to talk about those that want to. What we find is it's like we've just talked about. It's more about the purpose. Like, what am I doing? I want to be part of a higher purpose.
Sure.
Help me understand how I can be engaged in that higher purpose. Don't give me remedial task of going and changing the light bulb. I'm just going to get irritated with that. I'm actually not going to go do it. You're going to tell me to do it. I'm not going to go change the light bulb. You go change your own damn light bulb. But I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to stand there and look at you with a blank face.
That's what Steve does best.
And you're going to think I'm an idiot. That's what we run into a lot. Now we do have those that are just, they just get after shit where they're not going to question. They're just going to get after stuff. They're going to do exactly what they're told. Problem is they're going to do exactly what they're told and they're not going to learn why they're doing it, but they're going to be excellent at completing the task. And doing the, you know, having great quality and having everything, they're going to complete the test, but they have no idea why. They don't ask why. They were raised to do what they were told. Just shut up and do it.
That was my biggest problem in the field is I always needed to know the why.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 90% of the time, I was not told the why.
You were the boomer's pain in the ass.
Yeah. I'm Generation X. I'll still go do it.
Right.
You know, but I'm not learning it. The way I needed to learn was I needed to know my why, and then I go do it, and then I, you know, connect all the dots, right? Mm-hmm. I always wanted to fix puzzles and do puzzles and, and troubleshoot. I like that kind of stuff. It's the why am I doing the puzzle?
Right.
Hey, everyone. We hope you've been enjoying our episode with Alex Pauls. This conversation went in so many directions, we need to split it into two episodes. So thank you for listening to part one, and we look forward to bringing part two to you in a few weeks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.